Being rooted and growing in Christ. Who do you want to be? Who do you want to be when you grow up? Think of Jay Leno. Jay Leno, when he hosted The Tonight Show, made about $15 million a year. But Jay Leno wasn't doing what he did just for the money. It is said that along with the Tonight Show, it was not uncommon for Jay Leno to do 100 to 200 different comedic acts throughout that year. Why did he do it? If it was only about the money, he simply would have just stuck with the Tonight Show, and that simply would have been it. But Jay Leno did what he did because he liked telling jokes. He liked making people laugh. What do you want to be? Or who do you want to be? It's a good question, isn't it? Because it makes us ask the question, what do we think about when we sit and when we rise, when we sleep and when we're awake? It sounds like something we've heard before, didn't we? We heard in the book of Deuteronomy. Answering those questions about what you think about when you sit and when you rise, when you sleep and when you're awake, really comes to the fundamental question, who do I want to be? Let's look at it another way. Look at a guy named Rick Warren. Rick Warren, if you know who he is, he wrote a book along with being the pastor of Saddleback Community Church. Now, he wrote this book called The Purpose-Driven Life. And in the book, The Purpose-Driven Life, he has sold millions and millions and millions of copies. And not just to church folk, to people across the spectrum. And he's made so much money from that book that if he wanted to, he could simply retire on the proceeds and never work again. Can you picture having made that much money, being able to say, you know what? I quit. I never got to go to a congregational meeting again. I never have to fight for people volunteering. I don't have to beg people to come, and hopefully you're coming tonight at 6 o'clock, to special events. I never have to write another sermon. Could you picture what that would be like? But Rick Warren has no intention of retiring as the pastor of Saddleback Community Church. Why? Because he loves planning churches. And he loves seeing people come to know Jesus. So let's ask that opening question another way. Have you ever asked yourself, who does God want you to be? What does it look like? Read with me from God's word, if you will, from the book of Colossians, the second chapter. I want you to know how hard I am contending for you and for all those in Laodicea. And before we read any farther, remember that Laodicea was a complacent church. They had been a people who had heard the gospel. They'd experienced what God was doing, and they simply didn't allow it to affect their lives and allow it to transform them. So he's writing to the church of Colossae, but he's remembering these people who have heard the gospel and simply haven't allowed it to affect their life. And for all who have not met me personally, my goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches and complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this, so that no one may deceive you. By fine-sounding arguments, for though I am absent from you in the body, I am present with you in spirit and delight to see how disciplined you are and how firm your faith is in Christ. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives for him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Being rooted and growing in Christ. Picture a tree that is firmly rooted. And how deep the roots go. You notice that any tree that is healthy and is sustained for any bit of time has roots that go much deeper than the soil. Now, not only with the tree, but with life, I think this is vital for you and I. Because as the tree goes down and it digs for water, it anchors itself in the soil. Now, remember what's going on in our passage, and we'll touch on that in a second. Being rooted allows this tree to be able to withstand drought. Being deeply rooted allows this tree to deal with what any kind of drought may happen or struggle or hardship. This tree is going to be able to endure. So too, he's saying, now that you are in Christ, dig deep. Dig deep in Christ so that no matter what happens in life, not only will you be able to sustain it, but you will be able to be vibrant and live and even flourish. Hold on to Christ is what he's saying. What does God want for you? Have you ever noticed that there are things that happen in your life that nobody notices? And there are other things that people just get. So here you are, you have experienced the grace and the mercy of God, and your roots are growing deeper, and people are seeing the gospel come to life. You go into work, and people go, man, you don't swear anymore. What happened to you? Or you go into work, and this gospel of Jesus is taking vibrancy in your life. And people begin to say, man, you're not so angry anymore. Man, you're not so hateful anymore. Man, your broken story seems to have changed. See, that's what the gospel does. The gospel brings these life-changing things in our lives where people can just look at us and they can see that something that's happening. But there's also those things that God is doing under the surface that nobody really begins to see at first, but they're helping us to attain to the full measure and the likeness of Christ. And so we become more patient and more gentle. We become more self-controlled. What does God want for you? I think it would do us well, at least, to ask that question. Because here in Colossians, what Paul is telling us is now that you have seen and you have heard and you have witnessed the resurrection and the glory of Christ, watch how it affects your life. Because he's telling us you cannot experience the glory of Christ and not allow it to transform the rest of your life. See, as he writes to the church of Colossae, there's a problem in the church. There is this group called the Gnostics, and they believe that salvation came through knowledge. And he wants them to be so anchored in Christ that although these Gnostics are making their way into the church, that they would be so convinced, not only in mind but in heart, of the message of the gospel of Jesus, that they could withstand the temptation of falling into Gnosticism and that they could remain rooted and anchored in Christ. And then he goes on in the rest of the book of Colossians. And he says, here's how you can live out the faith. And it's interesting to note, he has repeated in chapter 2 what he has just said in chapter 1. What does God want for you and I? It's to be encouraged in our faith. I like this quote. The simplest way to stay encouraged is to feed your heart on what God is doing, not on what he hasn't done. If you can't see what he's doing, feed on what he has done in the past. What I love about this quote is that it really draws us into the fatherhood nature of God and how God wants us to see. He wants us to see what he's already done. And if we can't look at our lives and see anything that he's been doing lately, at least look to the cross and look to the finished work of Jesus. Look to the resurrected and to the ascended Christ who poured out his spirit and who through the lives of many people who maybe are sitting around you this morning, whose lives are transformed, whose lives are so anchored that they could say that God is faithful. Muriel Anderson needed that encouragement in her own story. As a young girl, she had longed to be a writer. And she lived in a small town, and there wasn't any chance really of her getting published. The newspaper there was small. They didn't hire independent writers. And so she was going to give it up on it all. And then one day her dad goes, you know what? You can do it. And so she did. And her article got published. And it began a long and industrious career for her as a writer. God wants you and me this morning to be encouraged in heart. But have you ever noticed that sometimes our understanding of what God says in his word and how we understand it in our culture aren't the same? We'll say, I have a broken heart. I'm doing things out of my heart rather than my mind. Or I'm simply listening to my heart. See, when Paul writes and he says, I want you to be encouraged in heart, what he's saying is, I want you to be encouraged in all that you are. The heart in biblical language is the idea of the full being. It is the center of who we are. So it's body, mind, and soul. When God's desire for us is that you and I would be anchored and rooted in him so that all that we are can speak to the grace and to the testament of God. Now, how do you put yourself in a place that you can be anchored, that you can be encouraged in your faith? People will tell you that these are things that you do, but they're really a response that anchor us in Christ. If you want to be encouraged in your heart or in your whole being, God invites us to get to know him more, to spend more time with him, to read his word, to pray, to memorize, to gather together and worship. And as you put all of these things together, your heart will be encouraged. You will be refreshed. You will be strengthened in all that you are. What's God's desire for you? That you would be encouraged and that you would be knit together in love. Now, why would we do this? Well, John says it a little earlier, doesn't he? When he says, this is about love. And by this, all men will know that you are my disciples. So how are we knit together? We are knit together by honoring one another. We're knit together by cheering each other on. We're knit together in love, but by joining together tonight, not only us, but with Friendship Church and Wildale Church, and hopefully you'll bring some of your friends and your neighbors as we gather together to, in a very visible way, be the church, and look at helping a family in need build a new life in this country. We're knitted together in love as we speak the truth together in love. We're knit together in love by serving one another, by praying for one another. We're knit together in love by doing life together. We're knit together in love by being here this morning together. Why? Why do we need to be encouraged in our heart? Why are we knit together in love? Not only so that the world will know that we're disciples, but so that you and I can attain to the full measure and likeness of Christ. You see, this is important. Because as Paul already alludes to it, he's writing to not only Colossae, but he's referring to those who were in Laodicea, who were complacent. And he wants us to realize that we need each other. We need to live together in love. And what I find interesting is that in the church, there are people who say, you know, I don't really need you. You know what? I can come in and I can sneak out and I don't need to have anything to do with you. I never need to stay for coffee and do life together. I don't need to serve. In fact, I don't even need to come regularly to be a part of you. But how do we build that relationship with Christ as a community, as the body of Christ, if we're not rooted together in love? And here's the interesting thing is we need each other. We're part of a family. We're part of the church of Jesus Christ, which he put together because he knows that we need each other to become all that God wants us to be. And his desire is that we would reach all the riches and the full assurance and the knowledge of God. Did you catch that? He wants us to reach the full measure and the likeness of Christ. How do you and I do that? We do that by living out of grace. We do that by reading the word, but by praying. We do it by memorizing the scriptures. We do that by doing life together. We do that by serving alongside of each other. We attain to the full measure and the likeness of Christ as you and I love our neighbor, as we encourage one another. What's God's desire for you? How will that question shape how you go through your week? Because then he says in our passage that he wants us to walk in Christ, to live as Jesus lived. As the body of Christ, we're encouraging one another. We're united in love together. We're growing in the knowledge of Christ together. And then he says, now walk like Christ. How do we walk like Christ? Well, we love God and we love our neighbor. We unite together as a community of faith. And we look for ways that we can be a part of the family of faith, so that our roots will go deep. So that when the storms, when the challenges, not only in life, but in faith come along, will be so anchored that we will be able to tell the story of what God has done in our lives, of what God is doing in our lives. And then we'll do what God says in his word. And we'll love each other. And we'll love each other richly. And the world will see the good news of the gospel of the risen Christ. Let's pray together. Lord God, it's easier said than done. Because, Lord, there are moments in our stories where it's hard to see what you've done because we're so caught up in what's going on. And, Lord, I just pray that in those moments in our story this morning, Lord, that you would speak deeply and richly. and that we be able to see maybe even a glimpse this morning of your working through the storm, through the drought in our lives. Lord, we thank you this morning that you have called together a community of faith called the church. To Lord, where we can grow, where we can serve, Lord, where together as a family we could be rooted and anchored in our faith. And that we would be reminded of the call to be like Jesus. We thank you for tangible ways to live that out. We think of tonight, Lord, as we gather, Lord, with friends and with two other churches, Lord, to worship, but to do life together, to be knit together as a community of faith that's broader than just Richmond Hill. So we could be united, Lord, in our purpose to love our neighbor, to care for those who aren't able to do that on our own, Lord. And as we sing, as we commune together, as we raise resources together, to sponsor our refugee family, Lord, we just pray that this may be tonight a powerful and a moving time of the church being the church together. Lord, we thank you for community church and in the way that it does exactly what we've talked about this morning. Lord, I think of the programs that will happen this week, Lord, and the opportunities to intersect in the lives of people who some have heard, some have never heard, some who have heard, Lord, but don't know what to do with it. The message of the gospel, Lord, and we pray that, Lord, you would use those programs and the peoples, Lord, that are there to tell the story. We thank you for the gifts that are used on not only Monday night, but in a variety of ways to anchor us in our faith, to remind us of the glorious riches that come from Christ. Lord, we thank you for the work that can be done in that, Lord, with Phil and Janetta. We thank you for their work in Tanzania. We pray that you would use them and the African Inland Church, Lord, to continue to be a strong and a powerful witness for the gospel. We pray that you would watch over their health and their spiritual safety, Lord, as they continue that work. Lord, we pray that you would continue, Lord, as a community of church to help us to walk with Ina. Lord, as she continues along with her children, Lord, to mourn the loss of John, we just pray that you would strengthen her and refresh her. And Lord, that the story and the legacy of John's faith may ring true and bring a smile to her face. And as those special moments come along, oh God, that you would refresh her day by day. And that she too would continue to see the goodness of God in the rest of her story. Lord, thank you for this church and the ways it so clearly is knit together in love. We just pray that you would continue to use this church to be a blessing to many. And Lord, ultimately a blessing to you. So as we continue on in our service, oh God, I just pray that you would be building us up this morning. That our roots would have gone a little deeper this morning. And that we would say it was good to be with God's people. And you know what? I know there's lots of things going on. But God, I'm not in a hurry to get out of here. Because I want to do life with my friends. I want to do life with my family here at Community Church. And maybe this morning, Lord, you would challenge us to reach out to somebody that we don't know very well. And that we'd enter into the story with somebody new. And that the family would grow a little bit more. In your name we pray. Amen.